Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Politbabble, where we're going to be talking about UBI, Universal Basic Income. My name's Archibald Elliott and I'm joined by
Ewan McClelland,
Samuel Rowe
and Brisha Shaw.
Yes,
ooh,
that's
like
us.
Extra fancy.
Sounds like someone to be full Samuel.
As I say, extra fancy.
Yeah, so I think we've been in the studio quite a lot today. Yeah.
Yes, we were recording the interviews.
So it's now 10 to 7. We're basically simultaneously recording two episodes.
Yes, yeah, so you're here next week's, which we definitely didn't record today and tomorrow. But next week we're going to be interviewing all the party leaders.
Put the date in your diary.
This is the last time you will see me in the Manx Radio studio, guys. Next week's episode.
We can finally get rid of it. No, I'm joking.
You and star of the camera.
I should have brought my tissues for the amount of tears that would have been shed this episode.
It's fine. We can flood the room instead.
Nice.
Okay. Universal Basic Income, Archie.
As always, we're smooth with transitions.
Let's do the chit-chat bit first, as we always do.
Yeah.
How's everyone's week been?
Yeah.
I think it's been good. We're back. Ewan is about to go to university. Archie, Bruce, and I are all back at school, hard at work.
It's all moving along again. Life has started again after the
pandemic.
COVID, at least in the Isle of Man.
In the Isle of Man. I'm going to England. I can get... Well, yeah, they've already brought back in COVID restrictions. But I'm going to have fun times with my six flatmates.
The rule of six is the
rule of six.
One, yes.
That nobody at universities is following. I've seen so many clips of university parties being broken up with. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting.
And that'll be all in the current affairs section. And you say shoot for about 43 minutes in, probably.
Yeah, and I will probably be given weekly updates when I come back on. Mm.
If
Archie finally concedes and just decides to put a laptop in front of a camera like I've been asking for.
But the audio quality.
This week we're going to be talking about UBI, which is Universal Basic Income.
We didn't discuss our weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, forgot about
our
weeks.
Oh, yeah, so we've just been at the climate strike, guys. How did we find that?
It went really well. It was good fun.
Yeah. My voice is now tired.
It was actually really good. It was a really good turnout.
Archie brought his megaphone.
Yes.
Archie did bring his megaphone.
I got to touch it.
Didn't we
all?
You got to use it.
Oh, she got to use your megaphone.
Yeah.
But big kind of well done to Archie. That was a...
Yes.
Was
he did a speech.
Well organised.
Archie gave a really good speech.
Rallied the troops. Yeah.
And then you started shouting about revolution.
Yes, the only solution.
As per usual, we all started screaming about revolution.
it's typically how it
happens. Even Devon.
Big up Devon Watson.
Even if we're just like in Costa, it usually happens. So like...
Yep.
To be expected.
Not abnormal for us.
No. Especially in public places.
Yep.
UBI.
So, UBI. So, Universal Basic Income, this is a definition that I think Ewan found, is a government program in which every adult citizen receives a set amount of money on a regular basis. The goals of the basic income system are to alleviate poverty and replace other need-based social programs that potentially require greater bureaucratic involvement.
Yeah, so
I found the definition.
I think essentially to simplify.
Oh, sorry, Brisha, I wasn't here when you.
I did say that, Amy. But
thank you, Brisha, for the definition.
Thank you, Brisha, for the definition.
I contribute so much.
What would we do without you?
Well, what can we do without you, Ewan?
Honestly, let's be honest. If Brisha wasn't here, we'd lose like so many listeners because it would us three being like, actually, I think this.
I'm the...
We value you, Brisha.
Love my fans. Not
what you said last week.
So, that's all we have time for tonight on... Take us away.
UBI is sort of a... proposition, I guess, that has been brought forward in recent years. It was popularised around about 2017. And the basic idea is you take all old social welfare programmes and replace it with a new one where everyone gets paid a flat rate, irrespective of your income.
And if you took the UK, for example, if you do the multiplication maths of 66.3 million times roughly 5,000 a year, that's usually the average implementation to start, you'd get three times the NHS budget, roughly, on UBI.
So, we're going to be sort of discussing that. Whether we're... So, I guess now that we've defined it, Should we just go around and see how we all feel about UBI? We'll start with you, Archie, because it's your episode.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ewan.
No worries.
If you haven't guessed already, I'm against UBI. I think it is a...
Shock horror.
I know, it's such a shock horror there. I'm against UBI because it requires even greater expenditure from the taxpayer. And equally, means-tested benefits actually provide the money to people usually who need it, because you don't need to... It basically, yes, you then tax the rich slightly more because you'd have to fund it, which wouldn't be good anyway, but then you give them a £5,000 rebate regardless because you
tax
have to give them UBI.
Tax the rich.
And obviously, with UBI, it is quite proper. It is a popular, almost a populist program, because who wouldn't say no to free money?
Exactly.
In this instance, I would say no, because I wouldn't support the government then having to spend even more because they're
coming
spending
out of your pockets, aren't you? Yeah, we know.
Well,
I think UBI may be taking. I like the idea. I really like the idea of having everyone having their living expenses covered. You know, sort of from each according to his ability to each according to his need. Taking that at the fundamental level, getting rid of all of the weird bits, and going, okay, everyone has a set amount of money, and you can live. You don't have to starve in the streets. I think that is really good. I actually really like that idea. I think that maybe it should be more more towards what is called a guaranteed basic income, which is essentially up to a certain income bracket the government gives you a certain amount of money. Because, you know, we don't need to be throwing money at people who don't need it, essentially.
I'm very similar, really. It's that idea of a guarantee. Given the current, particularly in, you know, Western countries that are typically rich countries, the amount of economic sort of power and technological advancement that we've had over the years, really, there's no excuse for homelessness. There's no excuse to have people dying of starvation in a country like Britain. That's not something we can, I think, morally justify. Equally, I agree that, you know, billionaires and millionaires and people who earn, you know, huge amounts of money don't need that guarantee, which is I would say, provided you earn below a certain mark, I do not know the exact mark, it would have to be worked out on what you know. I would say if you don't earn enough to survive, then I think the government should step in with a guarantee for economic basic rights and economic dignity.
Yeah. Would you would you include assets? So if I had £20 million of assets, which I wish I had £20 million of assets,
don't we all?
And then I retired, would I then get the 12,000 because I don't technically have as an income as per se?
No,
it's tested. It'd be a case by case basis.
Yeah, there would obviously be. It wouldn't just be like, this is it, and there's no compromise on that. There would have to be give or take. And it's that idea of economic rights and economic dignity. If you're living happily, as you would if you had £20 million in assets, then obviously you don't need that aid. If you're, you know, living in a next to a puddle in London, as so many people are.
More people than live in certain towns. Yeah. I think it was Sheffield or Leeds.
The amount of... We'll get the exact numbers up, but the UK has a major problem with homelessness. Everywhere in the world does. And it's very possible to avoid that. Now, I'm not saying we have this system of everyone gets the money, but I do think...
In London alone.
I do think we can afford to ensure that no one starves, no one dies of exposure. And I think that's just... I don't really see an issue with that. I think that's I think that would be a better world.
But then if you look at a means-tested benefit system, would you not agree currently on the island we have a means-tested benefit system?
Yeah, but why are there homeless people then?
Hmm?
Why are there homeless people then?
Well, I was just saying, do you not agree that we have...
I mean, we do, I guess.
The island, again, and the Isle of Man is very different London.
Yeah, and we like the Isle of Man and England aren't really comparable in that
sense.
No,
but I'm just taking a local example.
Yeah, yeah, because the Isle of Man's got a very low homeless rate. However, there are homeless people that, you know, they don't not exist.
Yeah.
Because we have charities like GRI that provide for the homeless here.
It's kind of my ideal world would be a world in which charities like that, as good as they are for the work they do, don't need to exist.
I think that's the...
It's the idea being that I don't think... Like, it should... people, it's that idea of a guarantee. You should be guaranteed a stable place to live. You should be guaranteed food on your table. You should be guaranteed protection from the elements. These are not big asks. We're not saying everyone should have an amazing car or an amazing house. It's really basic stuff. It's survival. And it's crazy that in 2020, people in, what is the UK is like the fifth richest country in the world. The idea, it's something like that. It's very high up. The idea that there are thousands and thousands of people across the UK who are dying and losing years and years of their life to something like this. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, it says it is the fifth, but something about indie rob taking it.
But if you look at,
it's high up.
Yeah, it's high. It's like it's between. It's low. It's higher than 10, basically. Yeah.
It's higher than 10. We've put men on the moon as a species, and yet we still have people living on the streets.
Yeah,
I think that's.
Did they really go to the moon though? You.
Oh.
But yeah, I said yes. We can look at the kind of, if you see the symptoms, if you look at the kind of a symptom, for example. Homelessness, for example, is a symptom of the effect which caused no. If you look at how the situations and how those people fall into homelessness, is it not better to deal with those situations and the means by which people get to that stage, rather than just focus on, oh, we need a fix here for only the end outcome? Because if you solve the root of the problem, would that then not solve
one,
the outcome?
You can walk and chew gum, Archie.
You can do two things at once. And I would also say that the roots of those issues are so deeply ingrained in society and in capitalism. You can't escape that. A capitalist system does allow for this. That while that is an interesting question, it's an immensely difficult one. And I think that in this situation, you know, I would rather do this and save people's lives than spend another 50 years figuring out the root cause and letting people die. If we, best case scenario, we fix it, analyze back to the root of the problem, and if we can fix that, brilliant.
Yeah,
if
we
not,
fix it.
I'd rather not have people die in the meantime. Briefly, what about you on UBI? How do you feel? The look I got of just total surprise.
Finally, you're going to let me speak no tricks. Tape.
Semi-ironic.
Yeah. I think, you know, kind of like you guys, UBI would be good in an ideal world, but obviously the government just aren't going to implement it because they'll have to tax the rich.
God, what a travesty.
They have to tax everyone.
Yeah, but the rich more.
But the rich would take, let's be clear, the highest earners and wealthiest of the country would take the majority of the taxation.
As they should.
As I think, is their responsibility.
Well, there is a tax cap. But so I think they're...
Yeah, obviously, but
I just think that some people don't need that much money, if that makes... Like, there's... What could you spend £1 billion on? Mm-hmm. Like, I get, you know, rent and all that jazz, but that's, like, probably, you know, rent for a lifetime is going to be, like, I don't know, £1 million, £2 million max. You still have, like, nearly almost £1 billion left of your, like, money. What are you going to spend that on? I mean, a car?
A
horse?
A lot of people will barely make £1 million in their lifetime.
Exactly, but I'm saying rich people.
Yeah, I know, but, like, I'm putting out how preposterous it is to have that much wealth.
But the thing is, if you look at these massive billions, so you take Jeff Bezos, for example.
Assets aren't liquid.
His assets aren't liquid. It's fact. If these people have, if you look at the billionaires and those the what you'd call the uber rich in the world, they make their money through the shares they have, and do you then just take those shares away?
Archie, do you think these people are poor?
Do you think these people aren't mega rich?
Even if you think these people aren't mega rich?
I just called them the uber rich.
Exactly. So even if a lot of their assets are the thing is, even without having all of their assets be liquid, they still have a preposterous amount of money. Even if Jeff Bezos is worth $200 billion and you can't access all of that, you can bet he can access at least $1 billion of it.
Or at least like 10 million, which I don't know if you know how much 10 million
or
pounds
million.
Is. That's
how much
money
do you think Jeff Bezos has access to?
Well, probably about 200 pounds. Yeah. £200. That's what I was going to say. Obviously,
No, seriously, how much money do you think? Jeff
I think it's estimated to be about 230 million in checking accounts or something. Because
so that's 230 million in checking.
You don't keep money in.
Okay, so let's say he tried to sell off his shares. How much do you think he'd make from that?
Well, he crashed the stock market.
That is true. Let's say he tried to sell off a section of his shares. How much money do you think he could get back from that?
Well, he could get a couple hundred million.
A few billion.
A few billion shares. Because he owns 70% of Amazon stock.
Yeah, exactly. So,
But that wouldn't solve UBI.
But what I'm trying to point out to you, Archie, is even though you said he's not got access to much money, this is just the thing I keep hearing about Jeff Bezos, and it really annoys me. Because the thing is, the man has the capacity to get a few billion.
And to crash the stock market by
doing
so.
And to crash the top stock market doing it.
That's not the point, Archie.
It doesn't even matter. Let's say he has... Let's say he doesn't crash the stock market. Hooray. Let's say he has, 500 million, okay? That's still an extortionate amount of money.
Do you propose that the government just seizes it?
Yeah, no. Make him homeless. No, obviously not.
Seizes the 500 million.
Archie, the thing is, what can you spend £1 billion on in your lifetime?
I'm only giving the example. Why would the government take it?
Because he doesn't need that much money. There are people starving.
It depends, actually, because there are a couple of justifications for taxation. Especially if you look at someone like Jeff Bezos, you could argue that he exploits his workers. And there is due recourse for that. Jeff Bezos' net worth went up so much that he would have had the ability to give each of his Amazon employees, $105,000?
Yeah,
and still have as much money as he started off with,
and that's including his liquid assets.
Yeah, so
don't worry, I'll count those too.
There are Amazon workers on benefits and welfare in the US.
But relating this to UBI, what does it achieve by stealing the assets? Ooh. No, but by seizing the assets, that may fund UBI for a year, but after the assets are gone,
because it's not
how
would you fund it?
So it's not we're going to seize your assets and pay everyone off one time. We just raise the tax bracket, for example. Hmm. But to be honest, Archie, I'm not an economist, nor do I claim to be, much to the disdain of certain people. but I think there are ways and means of doing it, but as I've personally already said, I think a guaranteed income is better than a UBI.
It's
better than UBI. So
I would also say, if you take
the government too much,
I know that you kind of used your initial example of if everyone in the UK received, £5,000, it would be how much bigger
three
than
times.
The three times the size,
roughly speaking.
But what I'm certainly proposing is not that, it's a guarantee. So it would only go to the percentage of the population that would otherwise be at serious risk. So if you take that down, I'm guaranteeing you it will not be that big. I don't have
obviously it won't be that big, but it'll still be bigger than the current expenditure.
If we can look up what percent of the UK population, or how many people in the UK are currently living below the poverty line.
People living below the poverty line.
If we get that up, and we will do the maths now, and we'll work it out.
The thing is, though, Archie, there are things that are being spent on stupid things. Like, don't MPs get free lunch?
As expenses, usually.
So why don't we, give MPs free lunch?
It'd only save about, it'd save a menial amount of
guys,
money.
Yeah, but
instead of arguing about MPs lunch, there are 40 million people in the UK are in relative low income, in air quotes, or 12.5 million in absolute low income.
Okay, well, let's take, because I know the 40 million must be crushing your soul, Archie, so let's take the 12.5 million. 12.5 million times 5,000, can we get that?
12 and...
Alexa.
I know, but the thing is, if you... 5,000, if you take 60, it as extreme poverty, you'd be needing to spend, 20,000 each one to get them above the 25,000 bracket you put it in.
Well, no, because I imagine what this would... Again, and this comes with all I was saying, this would not just be a reform on its own. There would be other reforms for cheaper housing, making food more affordable, making things like this, having... legal requirements for
let's say you give the 14 million people, for example, and instead of giving them 5,000 because it's a smaller bracket, you give them 10,000, for example, because that will guarantee they're above the line. No,
okay. Sure. Let's go with that.
To go with it, you'd be still spending 20 billion more than the NHS budget. And that NHS is the biggest expenditure in the taxpayer.
But think about it like this. Think how many people are admitted to the NHS, how many people the NHS has to look after because they don't have access to, for example, a house. I guarantee you the NHS all over Britain will be flooded with people who have contracted diseases or developed conditions because they don't live in a healthy environment. Everyone who suffers from malnutrition, everyone who suffers from otherwise avoidable diseases wouldn't have to go. So you're saying that the NHS, oh, it's bigger than the NHS. The NHS wouldn't need as much money. It would be a massive, and I think I think this is especially prevalent during COVID, the amount of people who, because people have been gotten off the streets during COVID.
Yeah, the government has ended COVID. There is a quote from a government minister basically saying it's bad that we've done this because now people know we can end homelessness. I'm not going to comment on that, but like...
I didn't hear that.
It's...
Could you source possible the quote for us?
Honestly, I remember reading it.
I have heard this as well, but yeah. We'll confirm that before we commit to it. But my point is, Archie, that this is something that is possible. People, we can do this. Like, it's... And imagine living in a country where no one was homeless. How amazing would that be? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
The thing
but
is,
but it isn't
Archie,
a reality, and it won't, couldn't be a
but
reality.
Yes, but it could be a reality, because the government have the facilities to do it. And the thing is, Archie, it's not the fact that I can't remember what I was going to say. Here's a little side note. My brother, this was years ago, he told me this story about this guy. I don't know if it's true. Shout out, Philip, by the way. Here's the weekly shout out. He told me this story of a guy who robbed a bank and he stole like $1 or £1 or whatever because he didn't want to be like living on the streets and he didn't want to pay for like healthcare or something like that. It was probably a dollar. So he went to like jail. It's an actual thing. I don't know whether he was like pulling my leg or anything. Obviously, you know, I
don't remember the exact thing, but I do remember hearing
but
something similar
I feel like he might have stolen a dollar so that he didn't have to pay for healthcare because, you know, prisoners get like free healthcare. So, America.
Hold on, we've nearly got it, lads. I found the picture on my phone.
Oh,
come on.
That is America. But if we go back to the... you're in agreement, a core principle of UBI where you pay absolutely everyone.
No.
You don't...
No, so, not no, everyone. That's, just the people who need
I'm just
it would be... Yeah, appreciate you take that.
I feel like there are obviously people who earn enough to survive and live and, you know, live comfortably and... Wow.
Yeah.
So I feel like you wouldn't have to give it. Obviously, you know, people might be upset that they're not given like £5,000. Is that like the basic thing?
Well,
like,
Scotland's proposing £5,000 for those under 18 and then I think £10,000 for those over.
I'd like to really quickly interject. It's not the quote, because I think you were still looking for that.
Yeah, I've got the quote here. I'm just trying to find where it's written. So the quote, it's a picture of a newspaper on my phone. So I actually want to find it.
But the statistic I found is during the COVID crisis, 90% of rough sleepers have been housed. And the government was able to do it like that.
Yes, because they took up spaces in hotels. The housing crisis...
There are hundreds and hundreds of empty buildings in London. And London has one of the highest homeless rates.
Yes, and they're owned. Buildings. How do you propose to go? Does the government seize those buildings?
Get rid of landlords.
Honestly, no, here's the thing, Archie, and this may baffle you, but if I have to make a choice, and I don't think it will come to this because there are other ways around it, if I have to make a choice between allowing homelessness to continue or confiscating millionaires one of their, like, 8 houses...
Would you pay them for compensation?
No.
I mean... You know
it
what,
depends.
Archie?
Well, maybe.
It would depend on the situation. And obviously, I'm not going to be like, we just steal everything. But, like...
Communism.
I have to say, but for me, personally, if I think homelessness is much worse than the idea of a millionaire losing, say, 6 out of 8 of their houses.
They might have 2 houses and that.
Okay, well, if they have 2 houses, then
maybe
losing one
of them. Then you would
only
take one.
And I know you're looking at me like I've just threatened to murder a baby. But, like...
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest. People dying on the streets to me is worse. And maybe you disagree.
The thing is, you don't need two houses because you only live in one at a time.
It's, you know, it is a thing because I think, you know, it just the statistic just shows. And can we?
Ewan's
still finding the quote.
I'm still finding it because it's really annoying. Because like I have a picture that I found on Reddit, and I found the Reddit post. And it is a quote from Robert Jenrick, the housing secretary.
What are you about to be like, it's not
this
real.
Is a disaster waiting to happen, says one former cabinet minister. They're going to have to do another U-turn, or there will be a shocking rise in homelessness. My worry is that we've shown it's possible to get everyone off the streets during the COVID crisis, so if homelessness goes up now, people will know it's a consequence of the government's actions. Now, I can't find that anywhere. Because it's written in the newspaper. That's where the quote's from. So
So we're not saying that that's definitely true. But
to be fair, I feel like that is even if that isn't exactly. But
it seems fairly on the. Ironically, it seems fairly on the money.
Yeah. I think that even like I'd say that is sort of a sentiment. It is sort of the sentiment. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I can imagine them saying it.
Oh, there's a bloody Times paywall.
Oh, Ewan hasn't. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't remove paywalls.
It is on it's the Times article I found, but like I don't have a Times.
That's why I thought we can take it as an example. Yeah, because I'm sure
someone asked for the source.
It seems legitimate.
It's an opinion. So
yeah. It's the Times. So
yeah, it's an opinion of an MP. He's conservative.
Tory MPs are pressing for another U-turn Tuesday, September 15th, 2020.
So that was the words of a conservative MP. Currently in the government.
Yeah. Former cabinet minister.
I don't care what party they're on or their positions. I look at the opinion. So
okay, yeah, well,
so, it won't make me agree with it suddenly because, it's a conservative.
No, I know, but what we're saying is the more important thing was that he used to be the housing minister. That's makes him.
He used to be the housing minister, and he's basically gone. We could end homelessness,
but lol, don't want to.
To be fair, it does cost a lot of money, and I think that.
I'd just like to say for the record, none of us are claiming this would be cheap.
The thing is, though, in the long run,
but, yeah, and
it would work
spend it on this.
More because if people get houses, they'll then be inclined to get jobs and then add back to the economy. Yeah.
The amount of people doesn't provide for the economy. Yeah, the amount of people who are like, why don't homeless people just get jobs?
Just get a job.
Have you ever... people who think that, and if you're about to say that, Archie, imagine turning up to a job interview after
with
being homeless for 2 weeks. Like, imagine that. No one's going to... Why would they? Why would they hire you when they could hire someone else who they don't have to support as much?
And anyway. There's a difference between, like, couch swapping and homelessness,
but that is still technically
It's still technically homelessness, but I feel like being out on the streets is more severe. If that makes sense,
definitely.
But going back to UBI, which is kind of where this obviously originated. Getting back to the topic, there are kind of examples and trials of UBI around the world. I think I read an interesting paper on it. I think a couple of weeks ago, and. They don't really prove that UBI works on a large scale. They're not exactly...
To be fair, they are like full UBI, which none of us are advocating for.
We're talking about UBI, for example.
I'd be inclined to agree. Obviously, it depends on population, but typically economy does also relate to a certain degree to population. Not always, but it often does. I agree with that. It is unfeasible to pay everyone in a country that has, say, 70 million people £5,000.
Is it not unfeasible in a smaller country? Because
it depends on how rich the country is.
Is the economy scaled down?
To be fair, there is actually a proposal from Nixon, of all people, on the family assistance plan, which had some stuff from UBI, but it never passed. I'm like in a couple Wikipedia articles deep about negative income tax. Before Ben and Ari complain the fact that I haven't researched, I've been packing for uni this week, guys.
excuses.
Honestly. I think we should have low income tax.
Archie really wouldn't like because people below a certain tax bracket get paid and certain people above a tax bracket have to pay. That's the idea.
Yeah, but the thing is if you just reduce tax massively, it'd be great.
Archie, I think this comes down to the fundamental split in the fact that, like, do you believe that there is a moral obligation to help people who are less fortunate than you, Archie?
I'm not going to dignify that question with an answer.
That's your belief.
But I think he does think no, but he's wondering how to say it without saying no.
I think that some people may feel there is a moral obligation to help, and they are welcome to help. And others may say, no, I've worked purely from nothing to my money. This is my money. I should keep it.
Archie, okay,
but that isn't quite what I asked.
The moral obligation depends on the person.
Yeah. Do you, Archie?
Do you personally think there is a moral obligation? And you can say no, and we aren't going to lambast you for it.
No, we won't.
Not through taxation, no.
Okay, so... Through charity, yes. Yeah, okay. So you're okay with homeless charities, but you don't think government should do that?
I don't think
so
government
that,
has
So that's
the
why
best
you're against UBI. That's your reasoning for it. Whereas we're more than happy for government to step in. And I think that's the fundamental split between us. Neither of us hate homeless people.
No.
I think it's the fundamental.
I don't think anyone hates
homeless. Speak for yourself.
It's the idea of...
I would pose they're awesome.
That's a joke.
It's the idea of charity versus solidarity that we're arguing here, which, and I very much fall more on the side of solidarity.
My question is, so if you want like a tax that's just universal, like a universal tax, so everyone pays 5%, say, so are you saying that people who make £25,000 a year should pay the same amount of tax as someone who makes £25,000 a month?
They don't pay the same amount of tax. They pay 5% of their earnings. It's not the same amount of tax. The person who earns £250,000 a month, as you said, will pay substantially more tax in monetary value than the person who earns £25,000 a month.
But the issue with that, Archie, is that, for example, if you're a low wage earner, 5% still... And I know it doesn't scale up perfectly.
You can remove the 5% for everyone who earns under 25,000. You don't have to have that 5%.
But the issue is it can't be a constant 5%, because
what's the living
50,
like,
say
you
earn 50
to...
million, I know that's an insane figure. Then you lose 5%, so you're on, you're
40
on whatever,
million?
40, 40
no.
million.
So I'd just like to pull this back to politics a little bit.
Yeah.
Basically for the A-level politics. You did the A-level politics thing. Anyway, so as part of the course, we had to memorise a few quotes to use in essays. And one of them that we had to memorise that has really stuck with me is a classical liberal quote, which is, "A drunk in the gutter is exactly where he ought to be." And I think that very much surmises the feelings of a lot of, not all conservatives, Archie being an example of one who isn't, I assume.
Well,
based on your previous statement that you think the homeless should be helped.
They can be helped, but I think they have, everyone has the ability, especially within the West, I still feel they have the ability to work from nothing to everything.
Yeah. So would you then agree with that quote then, Archie? A drunk in the gutter is exactly where he ought to be. The idea that you get yourself into these situations.
It depends on the situation.
Okay, but do you think that everyone who is homeless, it's their fault?
Of course not, because there's individual cases. Some it's not necessarily their fault. And others, it is their fault.
So you partially agree with the statement then, Archie, would you say? You partially agree with the statement that some of the drunks in the gutter are exactly where they ought to be.
Yeah, so if
fair enough.
You can lead yourself there, and
you can be put there against your will.
That's a fair enough statement.
Because there are definitely homeless people who have gotten themselves there. I mean, like, that's the difference.
I would say it's a big minority.
Yeah,
but
I would definitely say it's in the minority. But I'm not a homeless person, and I don't know many homeless people, so I'm not going to speak with them without any experience of being in that class.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us can. Probably, I don't know.
No. No, I don't think any of us can, really. None of us have been homeless. I mean, I'd say the three of us are rather
very much lower class.
I know a guy who went homeless for like 2 weeks to raise money for homelessness.
Yeah.
So.
But I think generally, because the Isle of Man is very fortunate in the fact that there aren't many homeless people. There are still definitely homeless people here, and that has to be acknowledged. Mm. However, they aren't here and they aren't as visible, I would say.
Yeah.
Also, we just kind of presumed that Archie wasn't. But Archie, because I genuinely don't know, are you working class, middle class? How would you describe yourself?
The class system, I think, has still become quite irrelevant.
Yes, it's the difference between bourgeoisie and proletariat. I agree, Archie.
No, let me, like, come on. Have your parents ever, like, struggled to pay rent?
Well, I don't know.
His mum was a tennis player.
Was, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Well, what does she do now? Does she have a job
how
now?
How was I supposed to know that?
He told us.
But if you go into UBI, take for example, I think a better solution to UBI.
Swift move there, Archie.
You've been talking about Bishop. The episode topic. We need to discuss it.
Yeah, yeah.
But with UBI, you've been talking about kind of basic guarantee income. Mm-hmm. I feel a UBI would be better better performed by a external body from government because where you can choose. Okay,
so I give like a charity.
It's a charity, yeah.
Sorry,
then it can help the problems which you want to solve. So it's not UBI, it helps the problems you want to solve. So you can donate to it.
Yeah. So if UBI was practiced by a charity and not a government, you would be okay with it then, for example.
Well, it's not UBI. It wouldn't be UBI.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a UBI. But let's say charity decided that they were going to somehow they managed to raise the. I don't know, 70 billion that we calculated that the people below the poverty line.
They need that every year, though.
Yeah, so let's say they raise 70 billion a year somehow. Would you be okay with them going out and giving that
well,
money?
Well, that's people choose to give the money. My fundamental issue with taxation is you don't choose to give the money and it can be spent very inefficiently.
Okay.
But a charity can help solve those. Because the government has to legislate and kind of look after a massive area, and if you have the charities can be on the ground, they can be in those situations, and they can make decisions much faster. They don't have to legislate, they don't have to go through bureaucracy as such.
Okay,
they can be there and they can provide the support which solves the root of the cause.
Yeah,
it solves the root.
But that is an opinion.
No, it certainly is an opinion.
I'm just going to call my opinion. Just
that's an opinion.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Oh no.
Oh no, he's done it.
Yeah, my main issue with that, Archie, is it's just like if it our system that could work, but your system, I mean, I feel like if that was going to work, it would have done. That system is what we've been operating on for like years and years, decades.
And these charities are getting bigger. We see like
Grimes is
a really good example.
They do a brilliant job.
I want to make it clear, I'm not bashing the work they do. They do amazing work, obviously.
Homeless charities are very good. We don't want to. Yeah, but what we're saying is that should be the government's
job. We have seen is, you know, massive spikes in homelessness and things like this. And so I do get where you're coming from, but I feel like it's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
Whereas the fundamental of ours is, it is. And I think it's not just a guarantee to something that's good. I think it's a guarantee to something that is a basic human right.
There have been two recessions in the last 12 years, so I think...
I still feel we have already that guarantee under the benefit system.
Okay.
The thing is...
That is an assessment.
If the benefit system works properly, it provides that guarantee.
But Archie, the benefit system doesn't work.
Would we have homeless people at all?
Exactly.
The universal credit system in the UK is a... poor example of a good benefit system because the bureaucracy it goes through takes so long.
Yeah, well, that's because Ian Duncan Smith's an idiot.
It takes so long. I agree. It doesn't
oh,
work.
I also agree.
You say ooh woo.
I said, I agree.
Ian Duncan Smith.
Anyways.
I agree that the universal credit isn't a good example, but this kind of benefit system I feel would obviously work much better than the UBIs. I think we agree on that, which is odd.
The thing is, something needs to change with the benefit system. Whether we implement, because we're the government.
It's us.
Whether the government,
we as Britain. The royal we.
I reject
very
nationality,
royal.
But okay.
Anyways.
Nationality is a social
construct.
If we have, Britain, you know, they have to do something because there are hundreds, thousands of homeless people.
I think that 14 people below the poverty line, Archie, that's pretty poor.
That's
14
literally.
People.
14 million.
Wow.
Sorry. Did 14, I say 14?
14 million. 14 people. No.
14
oh,
people
God.
would be like, whoa.
Really unlucky for those 14 people.
Imagine
being
one of the 14 people to be below the poverty line.
You would be
line.
Like, this is, no, 14
this
million.
This is absolute BS. You could all pay for me.
It's like, yeah, no, that was a weird laugh. You've got to admit, 14 million for a country that has great in the title is a bit dodgy.
Mm.
Sorry, you're gonna allow Great Britain just means it's a lot.
I know.
Archie, even though Britain, it was meant to be powerful, and
it was
just
even though even though Britain is great,
that's
big.
Oh,
that's big.
Great isn't there to say. Yeah. That's not what's included.
Sorry, my German's a bit rusty, guys.
Deutschland, Uber, and
we're about to get.
Anyway.
How to get kicked out of Mike's radio.
No, the point is, it wasn't meant as a literal thing. It was just the same. The point is, in a country as wealthy and powerful as the UK, and make no mistakes, the UK is very wealthy and very powerful, I think the fact we have 14 million people below the poverty line is really embarrassing for us. And it's really sad. That's what it is. It does make me angry, but most of all, it just makes me sad.
Yeah, I think it is kind of sad now. But I think thus is... I take a very nihilistic view. I think it's just kind of the order of things. I don't like it, and I will do everything in my damn power to change it. But I think ultimately it is just the order of things that some people have it shite.
At the end of the day,
it is our responsibility to help them.
At the end of the day, I think we can all agree that something needs to change with like the system.
Well, Archie, you said that the current system is poor.
It doesn't work properly. No.
Yeah, exactly.
We can all agree it needs reformed. The reforms we would propose are different.
Exactly.
I think that's a really good place to leave it on, to be honest.
I think that's a nice...
What's happened in the world this week, Ewan?
Bum-ba-dum.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I think, is probably the first thing to...
Regret the bum-ba-da-dum.
I'm really sorry
to... You forgot to play the music.
Do not play the music now.
I was joking there.
Tragically, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the only female justice on the Supreme Court.
Second to ever be on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Second female, not second female. Person.
Yeah. She is the second person in US history.
She is currently the first woman to lie in the Capitol. That's where her body currently is. She passed away this week.
Was it that?
As we were all hoping she wouldn't, until Donald Trump.
You therefore thought you said, are you going to not put the on her? I was going to say Ewan.
She's not Margaret Thatcher, don't worry.
Maggie's in the mud. In the mud.
We're singing all the right songs today.
Except
for Maggie. Ruth Bader Ginsburg has passed away.
But it's okay, guys, because Trump is going to put in another woman because he prefers women to men.
No one be seated until after the president was elected, as the Republicans had gone ahead and said the last election.
I think what was good is Mitch McConnell handled it in his usual tactful he didn't.
Oh, that's because Mitch McConnell is literally a human rat.
He's awful.
He's got the most punchable face in the House of Representatives.
If you don't know what Mitch McConnell looks like, look him up and tell us. And if you think we're wrong, message us in. I guarantee we'll get no messages.
I don't think you should punch him in the face.
No, we're not.
Oh, I'd punch Mitch McConnell in the face.
Let's refrain from violence.
I'd like to. I'm not saying I will. I'm saying given the opportunity, I would be tempted. Because he has a very punchable face, and he's genuinely one of the most abhorrent humans in US politics. Moscow Mitch.
Moscow. Moscow.
Owned by the Russians. Yes, he is, Archie.
To be fair, we were having a discussion earlier, Archie, and you straight up went, yeah, but it could have just been leaked by Russian hackers.
Sam, that was in relation to a document which wasn't for public release, and it was then leaked on Reddit.
I understand.
Most likely by Russian hackers.
Okay, no, I understand, but do you not see the irony?
No.
I was making Moscow a Mitch. Joke about him being called Moscow Mitch, and you being like, actually, he's not Russian? Like, we're just...
He's not Russian, he's just Russian-owned, it's fine.
It's fine.
I wouldn't say he's Russian-owned.
He's almost... It's
what else happened this week?
Moving on from the tragic death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, rest in peace.
Sorry, we laughed a lot of that.
There's been... I think we'll move on to the coronavirus update.
Yeah. Big
call up the tragedy with another tragic story. Because, there is another one.
Always tragedy on the news on Pentagon.
Yeah, pretty much. It's getting kind of depressing reading the news nowadays, guys.
Not that it ever wasn't, but...
Well, there have been times when it wasn't, there have been times when it was. You know,
but
now is definitely one of those times, and it is in the majority nowadays. But anyway, coronavirus updates. Boris Johnson gave us a speech... not Boris Johnson, sorry. Howard Quayle gave us a speech to tell us that nothing is changing. Thank you, Howard.
It's the most Manx speech ever.
Hello, nothing is
happening. Literally nothing.
So I just wasted your time watching this hour.
We got a COVID update this week. Yeah. Howard Quayle talking about the level 3.
Yeah. Sorry, Howard, please come on.
Please do come on, Mr. Quayle. We'd love to have you on.
Sorry, calling you Howard. That was a mistake.
Chief Minister Howard Quayle, please come on.
Big Chief.
That's it. You've killed any chance of him coming on that breach.
Chief is in the house.
Yes, I can.
Anyway,
our very professional take on things.
Well, yeah, we're just having a laugh, aren't
you? Archie, you cannot talk about professionalism.
I did that as sarcasm.
Yeah, it's been a depressing episode, though. It's nice to lighten things up.
Don't worry. Is that all? You can join us next week for party leaders. That'd be good fun.
Yeah, there's a very professional question. We are not currently in the middle of recording.
You'll see that out next week.
Manx Radio, sick of seeing
that. That will be my last episode. This is the last time you'll see me, guys. So,
for good or for a while.
Ewan is not coming back from Liverpool.
He's disappearing.
Oh, well, to be fair, until COVID restrictions are down, I won't be coming
back.
Because also, I won't have anywhere to live on.
10 out of 10, you're going to go into like the Beatles Museum and be like, the Beatles are bad, and then you'll just...
I've never really been a fan of the Beatles. I think they're a bit overhyped. I think...
I really like them, but...
Anyone not classical music, overhyped.
Okay, Archie.
Tell you who else likes classical music.
You had that take, Archie. That's fine.
I will have that take.
Why do we even try and slander Archie? He does it himself.
You do it yourself way better than we do. Mate.
What do I do?
Slander.
Slander. It's not slander. If it's true, it's not.
Archie, as much as we love you, you are a bit of a living meme, man.
Oh, dear.
We all aspire to be a living meme.
Certain members of the Discord want to make me one. Oh, sorry, anyways. Not on the Discord anymore.
Don't worry, Ewan. You did A-level politics.
I did do A-level politics. And I'm on the Discord server, unlike certain people.
Yeah. Thank you, Ewan.
Anyway, join our Discord server.
That was me blowing raspberries. Anyway.
We have lots of interesting.
Join the Discord server, but if you're hateful, we will kick you off.
Can I actually take a second to address this, because I kind of feel like this is on me. I just want to say really quickly, we do have a Discord, we do advertise it. Feel free to come on. If you come on and say something along the lines of being trans is a mental illness, or if you come on and are homophobic, or if you're racist, that's not going to be accepted. We want discussion. We want free debate. But we also want to have an environment where everyone is comfortable. If you're doing that, we cannot have it. Yep. So if you are thinking about coming on, but you hold those views, don't. It will save everyone time.
Yes, please. But anyways, join the Discord. It's getting really good at the moment, guys.
I think that rule should be applied to Isle of Man News and Politics Facebook page.
Oh, it definitely should.
We've got some brilliant posts on our climate strike.
The BLM. When we had BLM on the island, that was genuinely
any form of protest.
Any form of protest, and you get all the oldies complaining and all the middle-aged mums.
Actually, no. But I must say, there has been an increase in support and people defending it, which is nice to see.
That's because more people are getting involved, and the government still hasn't done anything, and it's been over a year now.
Yeah.
Damn.
I know.
But yeah, anyone on the Isle of Man, go support the Student Climate Network, or, you know, wherever you are. I mean, if you're in the UK and you want to join the UKSCN, we highly recommend it, because honestly...
I don't recommend the UKSCN, but...
We move.
I think it's a really good road into politics, is climate activism. Yeah. I mean, that's how I got involved. I think that's how Archie got involved, I'm going to say.
It's a good
I'm
platform.
I'm going to say with a massive assumption, but you and I basically got into politics through climate activism, didn't we?
We got into it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it properly. But that's how we got known enough to get in here, and that's how we've managed to do a lot of the stuff.
But also, start up your own thing.
Yeah,
Bruce and I were part of our own initiative, IOM Youth for Syria. That
we started a petition that didn't go through,
but we tried.
But still,
we tried.
It is nice to see the amount of young people getting into politics. Guys. Keep it up. Yeah. I mean, is there really anything else?
I think we're all a bit tired.
It's 20 to 8.
You want to say one final goodbye?
One final thing to the listeners.
No, he's here next week.
I'm in on the next one.
You'll hear him next episode. So enjoy the next episode.
We're recording tomorrow for next week.
We'll be talking about party leaders. So
and talking
then.
To
yeah,
party
join,
leaders.
Join us next week. Yes. It's really good. It seems really good.
From the two that we've had today.
And it's honestly been probably one of my favourite to record.
I think it's really good.
You can find out what cake with your party representative B.
Assuming you're a member of, or you want to be, or support one of the members. One of the parties on the Isle of Man.
If you want to be one of the members.
If you want to be one of the members, this is probably, if you want to join a Manx party, this is probably the episode to watch, because we outline them.
Not this one, the next one.
No. Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned is what
episode
we're
saying. Nine.
Anyway,
yeah.
Bye.
This has been episode 8 of Politibabble.
You've been Politibabbled. Hugs and kisses.